The Golden Globes Award Ceremony recognizes outstanding achievements in the entertainment industry. But because it's also a dinner party, it's a great excuse to see drunk celebrities and laugh at their tragic fashion choices.
The hilarious Liz Winstead joins us today to dish about tweeting the entire Golden Globes from her cozy couch in New York City. Why does director James Cameron look like B. Arthur?
How fast is Monique's wild ride from God?
Why were so many winning shows and movies so depressing?
And will the Oscars be just as tragic?
As a co-founder of the popular Daily Show, Liz has a unique perspective on the ongoing late-night talk show wars. Should Coco and the Chin ditch TV and just start their own podcasts?
Liz also tells us how she gave MSNBC anchor and lesbian media darling Rachel Maddow her first big break on Air America.
Plus zombie Twitter accounts.
The crisis in Haiti.
Roller coaster grandmas.
And Liz's hilarious list of political slogans for Massachusetts teabagger centerfold Scott Brown. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Gillian.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic listeners just like you. And by... Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration, plus a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it on the show. And to top it all off, free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today and use offer code FEAST to get off. 50% off one item, 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code FEAST at adamandeve.com.
Hello, boys.
Hi, Liz Winstead. How are
you? How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. I'm trying to get Conan to work for us.
Oh, are you? You know, he needs a job.
He's got lots of money, though. I would just retire, wouldn't you?
Well, you know what? Jay Leno, just give it a rest, honey. You know what? It's like, I don't understand at what point, when you see how people react towards you, that you don't go, wow, I still have a bit of dignity left. Maybe I should go out with that.
I would, but, you know, I don't know. He can always podcast. I thought he was trying to turn his talk show into a podcast per se, so why not actually make it a podcast?
I think that might be a good idea.
It kind of had that feeling because it's kind of low budget. He was just sitting there on that chair and it had one person on. It was kind of like, you know, our podcast, or that you have a podcast too, that your broad talk or broadcast.
Well, we all do. You know, he's got a chin for podcasting.
He could do it out of his house like, what's her name's ex-husband, Tom Green.
Oh, is he doing one too?
Who's now, isn't he sad that he broke up with her now that she got a Golden Globe, Drew Barrymore?
You know what? Who was happier than me about that?
Last night. Woo!
No one happier than me. Although it was so funny because I feel like Grey Gardens, I feel like, was up last year too. But I know I'm wrong because, you know, award season, they're like the Olympics. I can't tell exactly when they come back.
Yeah, I feel like they were up for something last year somehow, or they were in some award ceremony.
Yeah, maybe there was Oscars last year or something. Would that make sense? Or Emmys?
Emmys?
Maybe. I don't know, but so a lot of people don't know that you were working as the publicist for Grey Gardens the musical, right?
What I did was I did the whole ad campaign for the musical on Broadway when they did the second time around at this big New York Post-launched kind of gossip rag thing that was super fun to do. Yeah, I'm kind of a Grey Gardens whore. Whore, would that be correct? I'm whorish for all things Grey Gardens.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you because you're the person who introduced Grey Gardens to us.
Well, to
I
you.
Know, and you know what? I could not even believe that you had not had your gay cards yanked about 900 times over. When I heard that, I am like, wait a minute, I'm going to check the website again. This is the number one gay podcast in America, possibly the world, mm-hmm. and its two hosts do not have a sick love affair with Edie Beale, and have never worn a sweater on their head. I was like, I should have just hung up right then.
Well, I think things have changed. But I also feel as though that really Grey Gardens really resonates with people in New York and on the East Coast. Like, it seems like it's like they have they fetishize it like no other people do.
Yeah, because, you know, the gays in the Midwest, they don't worship those trans women.
Well, the thing about it is
a coastal thing.
I think so. I think it's a very New York thing.
Every time I visit my friends in New York City, they're always sort of like feel like they're Edie Beale because of like the weight of the city kind of makes you a little retarded.
It's true. I have to say it's true. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than a New York gay guy who goes and gets married and then becomes a hopeless, boring housewife. Moves to Connecticut. You try to call them on the phone. It's just, you can't, they just become those people. You know, put those gay matches down. Put the gay knife down.
Oh, did you read about this in the New York Times? It was a gay couple that, this was a while back, who are complaining because of the bad economy that they bought this weekend house up in, where was it?
I don't know. It was
in
on the some
Hamptons.
Of the lake house.
It was a lake house, and they just, they couldn't sell it,
because
they broke up, and so the guy had a party, and it was like these two rich gay guys just whining about how much money they had and how they were going to lose all the money they had made, and I was just like, this is why they hate us.
You know what? I know. Why is that even a story? You know, because they're like, you take the gay part out of that, and they're just everyone you hate. But you add the gay, you know what I mean? But you add the gay element, mm-hmm. and then they just all of a sudden that attitude becomes some gay attitude.
Well, the weird thing about it, though,
really
is too
rich people who are annoying.
The weird thing about it too is that I thought, oh my god, I was like this. I blogged about it. I was like, this is why they hate us, because this kind of stuff like this. And then I go to this person's that was involved in the story, their blog, and all these people were like outpouring all this sympathy to him. It's just like, I'm so sorry you're not able to sell your house yet. You'll be able to sell it someday and get it together. I'm just kind of like, oh my god.
I feel for you that you're going to take that $500,000 loss on your $4 million home. My heart is breaking. Breaking.
But it is something, says something about the gay community and the gay psyche, is that we're all busy pining after people we perceive to be rich or successful or attractive, but we have a really hard time celebrating ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that's a gay thing as much as that is just of like, if people get into that weird shallow mode. I also think too, it's like, depending on the kind of lifestyle one lives, like I live like a gay man. I'm like living in New York. I got this loft. I'm 48. You know, I've chosen to kind of focus on my career and not have kids. Not all gay people, but like typical like single gay New York, Sex in the City kind of thing. And like when you are that person, sometimes you do get a little bit more self-focused instead of like extending yourself out to having kids and stuff. I lob everything out of my dog and myself. So you do become a little bit like looking at yourself instead of embracing yourself. Wondering what everyone else has and wondering if you made the right decision.
Did you get a second dog? Because I saw your twit pic last night, because you were twittering the whole Golden Globes last night and you had a twit pic. You had two dogs. Do you have two dogs now?
I do. I have two now. I had little Edie from Grey Gardens.
Uh-huh.
And then when Edie was kind of a disastrous mess, i.e. eating her poop constantly.
Oh. Just like the real little Edie.
Is this the dog that was the humper, right?
Oh, she eats her poop. So the vet said, go get another dog. Maybe your dog's bored, and this would be a good way, and then she'll stop eating poop.
Yeah.
Which was the most retarded idea ever, because now Edie just has two places with which she gets poop, herself and this new one, Buddy. Yes, so now I have two.
You know, I have the Buddy same problem with Mark Liz.
Shut up.
I know. It happens.
Well, do you let your dog, like, give you kisses and lick your face?
No, because she eats poop.
Oh,
but she wants to, though.
You seriously gonna scream at me about that? Honestly,
but
I'm not even hearing you.
But can you get her medicated or something?
I tried everything, and here was the last straw.
Uh huh.
The vet said, so like the dog doesn't work, right? The dog just adds to the poop eating.
Right.
So then there's no cure, and you just go to the vet, and it's $300 for every problem. They look at your dog, and it's $300, and you leave, and there's no solving. So she goes, here's something that I've had clients tell me they've had success with. If you bring Tabasco sauce on your walk and sprinkle Tabasco on the turds on the sidewalk, then it might deter the dog. And I go, okay, so let me get this straight. You'd like me to walk down the street with my dog, and then when I see poop on the ground, you would like me in public to season it with Tabasco sauce.
But see, this is where I don't want to get a little vulgar here. But this is a podcast.
You can say anything you want.
And I guess, you know, have you ever been with a guy who was like insisting he wanted to eat your butt out?
Yes.
And
insisting.
And you're like, all right, it's not my kind of thing, but go ahead. And the weird thing about people like that is that afterwards they insist on kissing you just like that dog.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And then that's fine. But my asshole is minty fresh. That is something that a lot of people don't know.
She puts a little banaca in there before the...
I do. Well, you know, I have a certs, and there's special butt certs.
Do they have, like, medical marijuana for your dog? Certs. That's what I do.
What, Mark?
Get your dog high.
Get your
dog... You know what?
Stuck.
I should.
Yeah.
People say that's hilarious.
Well, it might chill her out.
Oh, my God. They're going to come and take my dogs away now.
Liz Winstead is a responsible pet owner, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't get them.
I'm not getting my dog high, and I'm trying to get it to stop eating poop, and my butt is minty fresh. Those are the take-homes so far.
Well, speaking about eating and kissing butt, let's talk about the Golden Globes.
Oh, my God. Wasn't Ricky Gervais awful?
I don't understand America's love affair with Ricky Gervais. I really don't. I don't get
it. I love the British Office. I thought it was hilarious. But his jokes were literally from a hacky comic from the 80s. I was so freaked out. He had no charisma. There was no, like, excitement. Even his outfit was, like, lame. And I just thought, what are you doing? I don't know. What'd you guys think? Halle Berry was awesome.
Well, the thing is, it's like with, you know, this is the first time for the Golden Globes they've actually had a host in, like, 15 years, isn't it? And this is who they start with?
Oh, you might be right. I know.
Yeah, it was. Like, they should have had Queen Latifah do it.
Well, you know, you just need somebody who loves the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Billy Crystal was so fun at the Oscars. Somebody who does big numbers and cares about the thing. And I know it's the Hollywood Foreign Press and it's a little hipper and all that stuff. People weren't even hammered. You know,
well, wasn't Julia Roberts drunk?
Did you see the red carpet with Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks walking down there and going up to Billy Bush and just being like,
oh,
you
awesome.
Got a pretty face.
I know. But you know, that's the bummer, is that Botox, you know, like you can't even tell if they're drunk or what's going on now, because they're all so ghoulish that it's just one big ghoul with a vagina mouth and then they walk down the aisle.
Oh my God! It is very entertaining, because I guess the Golden Globes distinguishes itself from other ceremonies is that it's actually a sit down dinner,
right?
And so and there's another really wonderful photo that was being passed around Twitter of the delicious Neil Patrick Harris sitting next to Mickey Rourke, going, "Save me!"
I know, poor Mickey Rourke. You know, he just kind of it's a shame. But did you see, to me, the beginning of the red carpet part's the best anyway.
Yes,
but, like,
always.
Did you see Courtney Cox talking to E! And saying that Cougar Town was a family show?
I didn't see that, no.
I was like, whose family? The Dugart family? What family are you talking about?
Well, look at the family she married into.
Yeah, true.
The Arquettes. For the Arquettes, that is a family show, probably.
You're right. It's like Little House on the Plastic Surgery.
Some get it down there. Some get it up there. They get just surgery all around.
I love vaginal rejuvenation as a concept.
But also, too, everybody's talking about James Cameron. I think you even Twittered that he looked like B. Arthur.
He did look like B. Arthur. I mean, he really looked like what? Like, I don't understand. I guess at some point you're so rich that you can be a man that looks like an old woman and be okay with that.
That's kind of like how my mom looks like, too, though. She's like at a certain age, you just don't care anymore.
I guess so.
Well, I also think...
Viagra and whatever.
Yeah, I think as you get older, though, some old guys, they do tend to kind of look like old women because you stop producing the testosterone as much, so you look like that. Because I go downtown sometimes here in Chicago, and you see these women dressed up in their, you know, their nice little outfits and the Gold Coast, and then you look and you take a closer look, and you're like, that really is an old man. It has to be.
And older women look like older men.
Yeah.
It's true. Hey, you guys, I'm coming to Chicago to do shows in June.
When?
Yay. June what? Last time you were planning on coming, it was for my birthday, and you had to cancel your show.
In.
I know. June, when, what day, where?
I'm at the Lakeshore Do you know the Lakeshore?
Yeah. Lakeshore Theater.
I'm at the Lakeshore Theater, and I think it's June 11th and 12th, but I can't remember, but it's around in there. If you go to their website, it's up.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, we got to hang out, girlfriend.
We'll laugh before then. We will. Are you kidding? I can't wait. I know. You have to take me out. Because, you know, it's so funny. I grew up in Minneapolis, but I don't really know Chicago at all. I've probably only been there 5 times in my life.
Mm-hmm. The nice thing about doing a show at the Lakeshore Theater is afterwards, one, you can hang out with the fans, and two, if you're the kind of person like I am, I never get enough of hanging out with the fans. And so I was like, let's go out for drinks. And you're in the gay part of Chicago right there.
I love that.
And so you can just go up and down the strip and be like, I'm Liz Winstead. And they're like, no, you're not.
Pop, pop. You know you're not. I dress up like her for Halloween.
And they're like, I don't believe you.
So you were Twittering a lot.
I don't believe you for a second.
You were Twittering a lot last night about the fashions for the Golden Globes. Are you really that into the fashions? Because you were sitting there.
It's really funny. Because, and I knew this was going to happen. Because normally I'm a big political person. You know, I just love just ripping the media and politics. But I do, I also love pop culture, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can hit it with the best of them, but I don't do pop culture very often. So I'm slamming during the Golden Globes. I get, like, 75 new followers. And then today, I'm all about the asshole that's running against Martha Coakley in Massachusetts. And all of those people unfollow, doing nothing.
Because they were all, like, conservative Republicans. They're like, oh, she has great fashion sense.
And I tweeted a thing last time. I go, be forewarned. I barely ever tweet about, you know, this kind of stuff. So follow me tonight and then remove me because you'll hate me in the morning.
Well, absolutely.
I'm obsessed with, here's what I don't understand, guys. Why don't these women, either videotape themselves, get their own GlamCam 360 before they leave the fucking house to see what the dress, maybe the dress is beautiful in person, I don't know, but if you have that much oil rag going on, I don't care if it's in pink, it's going to photograph weird. You know, some, I don't know that you're, why don't they just watch old movies and just get a designer and go, make me that dress right there from Imitation of Life and I'm going to wear that. And then have someone design it.
Well, there is, there's no accounting for taste. You can't account for taste. And then people get convinced. They say, oh, this is going to look good. And, you know, the next thing you know, you're wearing this thing and it looks horrible and your heart is crushed.
What was the name of that actress that to the Oscars? She wore the garbage bag dress and no makeup.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton. That was amazing.
I mean,
you know, and she's somebody who is, you know, she's one of those really severe, interesting looking women. Mm-hmm. Handsome might be the word I'd use. Not in an Eleanor Roosevelt sort of way, although she was incredibly handsome. Although some would say not even handsome. I'm going to go with handsome because I think she's terrific. But Tilda, you know what I mean? So Tilda, I guess maybe when you look like Tilda, you have to go really harshly bizarro.
I'm wondering if some of these celebrities don't turn to the designers and say, make me look as glamorously awful as possible.
I think that they don't know. You know, I think they don't have a clue. Because anytime you see them practically outside of the Oscars, which is in Us Magazine in the Gelson's parking lot wearing pink Uggs, you just know that they don't have a clue. Because every celebrity has got pink Uggs on and they're traipsing into the grocery store parking lot looking like 10 miles of bad road. And then they're the ones that get voted for having style. It's like, when have you ever had style?
Did you ever see Perez Hilton? He wore this like white tuxedo. I don't know what it was at an awards ceremony the other day. And it's just like, he should exercise better discretion. If you're going to try to like dress up like Lady Gaga, go all the way, put on the burqa, put on the dead swan, you know? It feels like it's a halfway job sometimes. Like, they want to be weird, they want to be tweeted about, but at the same time, they want to feel like their self-esteem needs a boost.
Well, you know what? If you're going to dress up like Lady Gaga, then you got to hire someone to help you do it.
Or a whole team, a whole house.
It takes 2 days to do that.
Do you know how many Muppets had to die for that coat?
Oh, my God, that Lady Gaga. I'm not really sure I get it. Like, I love the videos, but I'm not really sure I'm part of the whole Gaga for Gaga.
Well, this is the formula for Lady Gaga, Liz, because I think if you're comfortable in your own weirdness and eccentricities, Lady Gaga's not going to resonate with you so much as if you're a person who feels a little weird, who feels a little different. And then you add that with awesome music, bizarre costumes, and here's a mainstream celebrity that says, it's okay to be weird, it's okay to be a monster. And suddenly you're just like, oh my God, I'm a devotee for the rest of my life. You cannot say something negative about Lady Gaga to anybody, though.
You know what? It's true. You know what? She's mall-ternative.
I like that
Zoom.
You know, it's like, I'm going to go to Ruby Tuesdays, and I kind of like Lady Gaga, and it's kind of crazy. And I'm going to get temporary hair color.
Woo!
That's right. So,
I want to talk about...
analogy. Yeah.
Let's talk about Monique winning
best supporting actress.
Let's talk about the fact that every award was for rape. It was like rapey, holocausty, rapey, bitter, downtrodden. Like there wasn't, except for Glee. Thank God. There was so dark. And then Monique, I know. I tweeted. I by the end of the awards, people are going to be saying, "Where on the Golden Globe did he touch you?"
Why do people still have to thank God for their award?
You know what? God had nothing to... You know what? Any narcissist who thinks that God was looking out for your Golden Globe, yes, God is just the golden hand of the Hollywood foreign press. I don't understand that at all, why people thank God. You know, thank God that he chose me instead of those other people.
Well, what's wonderful about her speech...
God has said the other four nominees weren't as good as me. Why don't they just say that? Because that's what they're saying.
I think you just wrote a line for somebody, and somebody actually is going to say that now.
Yeah, but Kathy Griffin might take it.
That.
What?
I'm going to say that. If I ever win an award, I am going to say that.
Well, I'm
going to
give you an award
God
just so you can say it.
For deciding that I am better than the other four nominees here.
Well, what's funny about her thing is like she's thanks God and says like thank him for like letting him give me this ride as though she's at Disney World, like he's gonna like let her cut in at Space Mountain or something strange like
well
that.
Let me tell you what too, you know what you shouldn't be thanking God for the 3 days after the most disastrous earthquake ever, for paying attention to your Golden Globe nominees, because you're also saying thank God for really paying attention to the voters of the Golden Globes instead of the people in Haiti. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that kind of cut down on the glamour effect of the Golden Globes this year? Do you think they toned it down a little bit?
I think celebrities are just trending not as awesome. And you know, like Matt Barbara Streisand's awesome fashion, you know, risks she would take. They were great and Cher and stuff. And people just don't know how to do it anymore. And I just don't know. They all wear that same updo. And it's just kind of like, and they all kind of have that, either like Wilma Flintstone thing with a cinch waist and then some fluffles on the bottom, and they all go Harry Winston for the jewelry, and they throw some shitty emerald in your face, and it's kind of like they just don't have any cool about them anymore.
Well, to me, it feels...
no one's smoking anymore. God, those Golden Globes and that hair and the smoking and the carrying on and the stoles. People wear stoles. God, we don't have any of that anymore.
It feels like a lot of these celebrities are YouTube video bloggers that have some skills, like they can act or they can sing. But if they didn't have those skills, they'd just be like very popular YouTube bloggers.
It does often, yeah, I know. It feels like the most popular person from Akron is now who's making it in Hollywood. And that's because our talent pool and our glamour pool is, you know, being lessened and lessened by reality stars. Our glamour stars are going, the talented, cool, glamorous stars who are going to have drinking problems and get into trouble and be fabulous, are now just douchey people like the Heaney family. Like, they're famous.
But aren't we just, like, discovering that a lot of these celebrities from the past were actually kind of skanky themselves in reality, and that the Hollywood machine was good at covering it up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think because the Hollywood machine was just one machine, not that we have so many machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't barely do anything. I mean, they can dissect how much corn is in your shit before it even comes out of your body. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows where the TMZ offices are, but I think they are in the L.A. coroner's office. I think they actually set up shop at the L.A. coroner's office.
They have a mole in there.
Who are these people?
Really?
You know, one thing I never understand when I watch that television show is who are the writers, the goons that the guy
What that he's talking to.
That he's talking to his like a staff.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem like they're hired actors to pretend to be journalists.
They're guys with flip cameras who camp out at the airport.
And that blonde guy, you totally know he's screwing that blonde. He has to be.
Oh, he's so cute.
And look at these are our celebrities. These douchebags and what's her teeth from Jersey Shore.
Are you caught up in the tsunami that is Jersey Shore?
I'm not that caught up in it, but I don't want to be old lady Winstead who doesn't know what's going on in the zeitgeist. I want to know what the kids are being exposed to. And what's her name? Suki?
Snooki, I think, right?
Snooki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Greedette.
So that whole train wreck of horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you're so nice.
There were people that used to be guaranteed never to be on TV and in the movies. Like, we used to have, it was so awesome because they were just the trash that we would never have on TV because we would have glamorous celebrities. And now we just have those people.
I feel very pasty white, though, watching that show. I feel like going out and getting myself a spray on tan. How about you?
You know, I feel like I want 3 haircuts.
You know, they did a little kids video version of it. It's little Jersey Shore and it's little kids reenacting.
That's hilarious.
So it's fun, but I'm just kind of like, it's kind of like, if I were a parent, would I want my kid participating in that?
Well, you know,
well,
15
that's
minutes.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What parents are going to go, oh, you know what's really funny? Let's do a takeoff on Cougar Town with our 4-year-old daughter. We're going to dress her up like an old lady trying to get laid.
So, Liz, you're pretty big on Twitter, and you're
huge.
Sort of one of these celebrities that went from traditional media and really embraced new media. What kind of advice should Conan O'Brien or Jay Leno sincerely actually start embracing new media? Because they both might be out of a job. If they fire Conan and Jay Leno's show still doesn't do well.
Well, right, and you know what? You just don't know where you're going to be from job to job anyway, and so how are you going to connect with your audience? Do you have that base set up? Like, if they don't all, I mean, Jay Leno obviously doesn't, and it's, you know, I think it's so stupid. This just allows your audience to the intimacy of podcasting and Twitter and Facebook. Like, I could not love it more because it really allows me, part of doing what you do in public is that there's a lot of crazies out there who you don't want to get to know you, but there is also a world of a fan base who are amazing, who you would like to let into your life a little bit. And this gives you the safety to have people really get to know who you are, and you get to know who they are. And I just can't imagine not having it, you know, part of what I do and stuff. And they just are so stupid. They disengage from it. They don't understand the bond and the loyalty you get from your fans. I mean, you guys know. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about all the people that are posting I'm with Coco on their Facebook profiles and their Twitter accounts? My personal feeling is, hey, we have a lot of bigger problems than where Conan O'Brien's going to be working next week.
Well, like Haiti. I mean, I broke it down. And my tweet about it was, I broke down their salaries. And my tweet was, an average Haitian makes $1,300 a year. Jay Leno makes $3,200 an hour. And Conan makes $2,400 an hour. Really, people, really.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you today, the day we're taping this on Monday, is that they're at 4:30, they're having a rally outside the NBC studios that's on the street in favor of Conan O'Brien. And I'm
in
Chicago. I'm kind of like, folks, where are your priorities? What's happening? And it kind of smells like AstroTurf to me. And I'm just like, are people really getting together, or is this some kind of crazy like marketing campaign to get us to turn on to NBC?
Well, you know, the bottom line is, for me, I think is, coming back to social media and all this stuff we're talking about, is that is the audience that Conan gets sitting down and watching television at 11:30 at night, or are they like us? They're watching The Daily Show, they're podcasting, they're out in the world, they're Twittering, they're getting their information all over the place. I'm not sure they're sitting down and watching traditional television at 11:30. And Jay Leno just was a miserable failure that didn't work. So is it even smart to, if you're going to say that Conan isn't working in this time slot, is it that that time slot just has never been full of his audience? I don't know the answer to that. But if it's not, then they should find a third person who could come in and do that job.
I have a
get rid of Jay and see how they should have also just, you can't have two shows at the same time. It's like Jay's show was basically, everyone still thought it was the Tonight Show at 10 o'clock, and then the news, and then another show that's sort of just like it. Like, that's not really giving Conan a shot.
I think
bizarre.
I think that, you know, Conan and Leno are going to be in seeking sunnier, what is that, sunnier pastures, greener pastures,
yeah,
sunny fields, sunny skies. They need to find somebody who appeals to the senior citizens. Why not get the viral sensation of the roller coaster grandmas? Have you seen that video?
They're awesome. I love the roller coaster grandmas.
Have them host the Tonight Show. And just spend an hour going, ooh, ooh.
I think, you know what? That's great. And then they fall asleep in front of the TV.
We can watch the host fall asleep while the audience falls asleep.
And then occasionally they can bring Jack Hanna on from the zoo.
And have an animal attack
the
old ladies.
People enjoy animal things.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Hey, happy MLK to you too.
How are you celebrating today?
Today, I'm going to celebrate MLK Day, you know what, by not going to the bank.
Or what? School.
And I'm also probably going to give more money to Haiti, as Martin Luther King would have wanted.
Aww. Well, you don't have to actually second guess what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would have wanted, because you can ask him on Twitter.
Oh, is he on Twitter?
He's on Twitter, twittering from beyond the grave.
From beyond the grave.
That's awesome.
Well,
what's his Twitter handle? Got MLK?
It's Dr. MLK ING, but it's blocked and there's no followers, sadly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I checked it before we started taping the show, but I did a phenomena which is called Twitter zombies, which is people who take on famous dead people's names or identities on Twitter and keep them going. So you can follow.
I mean, I've seen the joke one of that, like Half Pint.
Who's Half Pint?
The Laura Ingalls one.
Oh.
Oh,
you guys,
I love
should follow.
One.
It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, there's Harvey Milk. There's Malcolm X, Marilyn Monroe, Elvis, Jesus. You can follow Jesus and you can follow Satan. Jesus has 7,800 followers, where Satan is more popular than Jesus on Twitter with 8,105 followers.
Yeah.
So
that's
evil
what's
is
going on. The teabaggers are right.
I'm gonna have to start following Half Pint. Nellie Olson has like a one woman show she's taking around town.
Heard it's hilarious.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I think it's coming to Chicago too. I'm not sure. It's out in LA right now.
I think she shits all over everyone. I do. I think she shits all over everyone. Or maybe that's Jan Brady. There's so many of them who are out there doing one woman shows, just telling it.
Well, did you ever catch Carrie Fisher's one woman show?
Oh, no, it's in New York now. Is it great?
Oh, yeah. I heard many good things. Will you please go?
Let me tell you what I saw last night.
What? What'd you see?
Or two nights ago. Martha Plimpton has a cabaret show.
Uh-huh.
And it is so fantastic. I can't even tell you.
She's a Chicago Goodman Theater alumni.
Yes, she is. Her voice is, she can sing, and she does his American Songbook. But she does, like, everything from Harold Arlen to Tom Waits to Randy Newman. She does these great songs and tells these amazing stories about New York and about her life growing up in New York and her messed up parents and stuff. And her band is incredible. If it comes to Chicago, go see it. She's fantastic.
I'll only go see it if she sings Goonies Are Good Enough.
I know, she should have.
She doesn't sing it? Because she was in that movie, she should have.
That was like their big break.
Was her father?
That was her big break.
And besides being born into the Plimpton family.
Yes, into being a famous father. So her father was screwed her up?
Her parents are funny. She was apparently, her parents met during the first Broadway run of Hair.
Oh, wow.
And so the first like 4 years of her life were spent backstage of Hair, eight shows a week.
Sing all those naked
bodies.
On
someone else's lap.
Well, I got to tell you, you're killing me on Twitter today with your your Twitter.
With Scott Brown.
Oh, that's Scott Brown.
Now, the
Can
only thing I know
it?
About him is that he posed for a centerfold. I'm sorry, I'm completely ignorant about this guy.
Well, he's a big teabagger who may win Ted Kennedy's seat. He came out of nowhere. The Democratic candidate, Martha Coakley. So if anybody's listening in Massachusetts today, and vote tomorrow for Martha Coakley. Get rid of this guy. He's like trying to repeal gay marriage, and he's like a really strict, like, anti-abortion guy. I mean, he's part of one of those Michelle Bachmann teabaggy nutbag people. And but he looks like Mitt Romney. He's got that million-dollar smile and kind of looks maybe like he would wear a Tommy Bahama shirt and looks kind of normal, but he's really a freak.
Mm.
And he did this Playgirl Cosmo centerfold in 1982.
And I love your Twitter updates today on him. And there, it's a hashtag of his name. And what is some of the things that you've written today? Is
let me just see. Man Palin. Scott Brown slogans.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to my main page.
I have a couple of them.
We wrote them all down for you here.
I didn't want to steal your lines, though. Creep throat.
No, you can read them. It's funnier to have somebody else say them.
Taint misbehaving.
Heck of a knob brownie.
What's a knob brownie?
Heck of a knob. Remember Heck of a Job Brownie?
No.
Remember Michael Brown who screwed up during FEMA and George Bush said, "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right of so centerfold is lovely.
Cock and awe. But they didn't actually show his penis in that centerfold, did they?
Everything but. Helen Gurley Man is the other one that I didn't post. I was going to right before we went to broadcast.
Look what Brown can do to you.
Keep on sucking. I don't know if that's what does that have to do with anything?
Well, because he sucks.
Oh, because he just sucks.
Greeting is fundamental. The truck stops here. Cap crap and trade. 9/11, good buddy. I think I like that one the best.
Well, I know after that whole Obama truck thing yesterday in the speech.
Can we talk about? I can't believe it's not better. And the whole campaign, this is the thing that we've discovered since we were so annoyed by Megan Mullally's annoying, shrill ad campaign for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, that we started to discover that there's actual a lobby for margarine. So we nicknamed it Large Marge.
Large Marge!
Large Marge. And they're trying to get, margarine was developed as a type of feed for turkeys, but they discovered that it was killing the turkeys, so they repurpose it into a spread. And that's what Americans eat today, thinking they're actually being health conscious. But in reality, eating margarine there have been some studies that actually leads to breast cancer in women of Megan Mullally's age.
You know what? The way Americans eat is so embarrassing. Did you guys see the thing that Kentucky Fried Chicken introduced this year? It's a chicken sandwich that instead of bread, it's two pieces of fried Kentucky Fried Chicken are the bread. And then in the middle of it is bacon and four kinds of cheese and some kind of, in quotes, white sauce. And that's your sandwich.
Oh, wow.
That sounds delicious.
This definitely has to go on the This Is Why You're Fat blog. Have you seen that?
It's a wonderful... No, you've got to Google the Kentucky Fried Chicken, like, spackle heart sandwich. Awful.
You know, that's very similar to a Puerto Rican a jibarito sandwich, which is a regular sandwich, but it's made with fried plantain instead of bread. And it's super greasy.
It's so greasy.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds delicious, but it's greasy.
That sounds delicious to me because I love a plantain.
It's pretty good, but I just think that Americans and people, like, I've been working out and people have been like, "Wow, you look great." It's like, "What have you been doing?" I'm like, "Well, I've been on fermented foods, drinking fermented tea, making my own sauerkraut at home, and we're starting to make yogurt as well."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really?
Fermented foods.
Do you have a goat in your bedroom?
No. My new motto is, if it's rotting food, we'll eat it.
You'll turn it into something else?
Oh, yeah. Just eating rotten.
Well, the thing about it is that what you were explaining to one of our other guests, Mark, is that human beings evolved eating decaying food.
Right. When we're little varmints running around like little monkeys, what are you going to eat? You're not going to go out and kill something. You're just going to find something rotting and eat it.
You don't have a refrigerator.
You have no refrigerator. Nothing like that.
So in 2010, I'm encouraging all our guests to try some kombucha. It's making your own homemade sauerkraut is so easy. It's all you do is shred cabbage.
I love sauerkraut.
Yeah, if you shred cabbage, you stick it in a porcelain or glass container, and you put about a teaspoon of sea salt. You can't use the iodized salt, and you compress it down with a plate. And then about 2 weeks, it rots in that thing, and then you eat it.
And your whole loft will smell like sauerkraut.
you know what? Like, it already doesn't.
and maybe your dog will then stop eating its shit.
A lot of women get monostat for that, but you guys are just making it in your kitchen, and I think it's terrific.
Hey, let's talk about your interview you did with Tracy Egan and Mo. How do you say her last name?
Chachkik.
This was so weird. Just like, I don't know what was going on. So you had these two women on your show, and you started talking about rape, and these girls were very dismissive and like joking about it. Like, well, I live in Williamsburg, and not too many guys rape people there. And I'm like,
I know, I'm too smart to get raped. And then, I mean, the whole night was so bizarre because I interviewed them on the show, mm-hmm. and we do our little morning show set time, and then we take a break, and then I do a little sit down interview with someone. It's fun and light, and you know, people have a glass of wine, and we talk about politics and the world and stuff. So I don't get a chance to meet the guest until I sit down. But we did a pre-interview with Tracy, and so everybody knew what was going on. And I guess they either came hammered or got really drunk, and by the time they hit stage, it was just kind of this. It was a very bizarro conversation where I didn't know when they were trying to be funny and when they weren't trying to be funny and even what points they were trying to make. But when they made points, it was like, yeah, you know, the guys in Williamsburg are lame and they really don't rape and I'm too smart to get raped. And, you know, the best form of birth control is pulling out. And it was just like this endless, one of them never has used a condom. I can't remember which one when they've had sex. And then I was like, okay. And then I just became a completely like dismissive grandmother. And then the youngster women of the world turned on me that I didn't really care because I thought they were so wildly inappropriate.
Oh, the audience turned on you?
No, they're fans.
Oh, really?
Oh, their fans were blogging stuff like, Liz Winstead's so old, her who would ever even want to rape her, you know, cobweb cunt, like stuff like that. And it was like, really? That's the conversation we're having? You're not at all sort of upset about the dismissive nature of rape and the message that's going out and none of that. I'm the enemy. Really? Yeah, it was bizarre.
So, and this was, about a year ago about?
It was like a year and a half ago, yeah. A year and a half ago.
And so how did this, like, resolve? What happened? Because that's the great thing about, like, new media and blogs is, like, stories just don't die. You can always add to it. Did you ever get an apology from these women? Did they ever say, you know what, I'm sorry I came on your show, I was drunk, I was tactless?
No, what I got was them saying that they were set up. They said they were set up and that they were told to get really drunk, which is, like, my show has had on Rachel Maddow, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now.
Oh,
I've had like
all
you
the
know,
drunks.
We have journalists on. Nobody in the history of that show has gotten hammered and sat down and said anything bizarre. It's not. I don't have a gotcha kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
And so no, it's exact opposite. Actually, they were like they were both went on the attack, and it was pretty bizarre. And so I was just like, well, you can't have your lives because if that's the way you're going to live it, that's very sad.
Well, yeah. I don't know. We go through that all the time, and sometimes we get guests put on our show, and we're just like going horrified at what they're saying. But sometimes you just can't do anything about it. You feel kind of like helpless, like you're in the roller coaster, falling off of a cliff with the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to let. At that point, I just feel like let the guest give them enough rope, and then let them take their journey and expose themselves for who they are, mm-hmm. and then you can at least say, "I gave you a platform. You showed exactly what you wanted to show about yourself, and there it is. You know, people can judge it for themselves."
Well, Liz, I think that you have the Midas touch when it comes to entertainment.
Oh, you're so sweet, you guys.
And you know, and I want to remind the listeners, because you helped start, you were the sort of the co-founder of The Daily Show, but
yeah,
also your gal pal that you did Air America with, Rachel Maddow, is gotten
huge.
Yes,
I hired Rachel Maddow. Can you believe it? I hired Rachel Maddow and then hosted a radio show with her for a year. And she's so fantastic.
So what was the interview like for that? It's like,
here's what's so hilarious. So how it all went down was, my friend Paul is a photographer and moved to Western Mass and was teaching photography school out there. And when I got hired to launch Air America, because I was hired first to be one of the executives and then also as an on-air person, he said, I've got this friend out here who's hosting like a morning show. It's an alternative radio show, and she's really awesome, and she knows a lot about politics. would you ever talk to her? I'll send you her demo thing. And I said, okay. So he sends me the demo thing, and she's awesome, and it's Rachel. And so I call her, and I said, you know, I really like your demo reel. Can you come to New York this week and have a meeting with some of the people that do the hiring here? And she goes, I'll get on the bus right now. And 3 hours after that phone call, she was down in New York City, and we met her, and I think we hired her 2 days later.
Awesome.
And then you guys were spooning.
And we were spooning in no time, Miss Maddow and I.
So, Liz, what's the future hold for you? Where are you playing out?
Oh, so much stuff. Well, I'm going to be the last weekend of this January. I will be in Washington, D.C. area and at the Arlington Cinema and Draft, which is very fun. And then I am writing a book. I'm writing a book of essays, a hilarious book of humor, and I'm waiting to find out about a TV project that I can't talk about, but I'm going to find out the next couple of days whether it's going to go, which I'm kind of excited.
Maybe give Conan O'Brien a job.
Yes, and I can give that poor Conan a job.
Give him some welfare.
He's only getting $40 million.
Does he qualify for food stamps or like unemployment if he leaves? And I think he actually does.
No, I bet you do.
Yeah, it's a job just like any other job. If you get fired from your job, you get unemployment.
That's exactly right.
That's why they're settling out of court, because they don't want to pay unemployment. $33 million, or how much does he make a year?
He made 25, and LeJay made 30.
So $25 million a year in unemployment checks. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing to happen to anybody.
He gets still, though, only the $440. Like, that's what's so great about unemployment. It's like the top cap of unemployment money is the same. It just levels off at some point.
Yeah.
So whether you make $60,000 a year or $6 million a year, your unemployment's going to be the same.
Well, that's, still.
Isn't that comforting, people? Have I just comforted everyone?
Everyone's like, oh.
Oh, well, that Liz. She's just a warm, fuzzy potato.
Liz, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And
you guys,
you're just wonderful.
I love coming on your podcast. Are you kidding me? You're the best. You're the best podcast.
Oh, thank you. Anytime. And so where can people find you on the internet? You're twitter.com/LizWinstead with two Z's.
That's right. They can find me on Facebook. I'm launching my website. It's taking forever to make. But I'll be launching my website probably in March, and so I will, when that gets up, I'll pop you guys a note and say, mention my website!
we'll just get you back on.
And then I'm also the broadcast. What am I talking about? I have my own podcast with my dear friend Darby, which we do sporadically. It's called The Broadcast.us, mm-hmm. And you can find us on iTunes, or you can go to The Broadcast.us, and it's us two chicks sitting around talking about politics and our vaginas in no particular order.
I've listened to a couple of them. They're very good. I have to say, you guys have a great chemistry together. Is she any relation to Joanne Worley?
No, she's not, but she should be.
Okay. She should at least get the laugh down, right?
Oh, shouldn't we all, actually? I know. She's a hard one to do, but I love Joanne Worley's eyelashes.
You know, just to clarify, I don't think that's the URL to your website, broadcast.us, because it's not coming up, just so you know.
Thebroadcast.us?
Oh, the broadcast.
It's thebroadcast.us.
Is it coming up? There we go. Oh, look how cute you guys look.
Of course, you always find it through iTunes.
So cozy.
We look like drunks.
So you live in New York City with your two dogs. What is your dog's name?
Little Edie Beal.
And then Budward, but his professional name is Budward. So it's Edie and Buddy and me in my loft.
Liz, thank you so much for talking to us.
Guys, loving you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Liz Winstead lives in New York City in a glamorous loft somewhere. Her address is 2348 North
Broadway.
Broadway.
We don't know where she lives. But she does have live.
She loves it. If you ever run into Liz Winstead with her two dogs, Budland and Little Edie. Budworth
and Little Edie Beal.
Little Edie Beal. Or they just call it Little Edie.
And so you can get a kiss from Budworth. Don't get a kiss from Little Edie, because Little Edie's the one that likes to eat its poop.
just like the real little lady. You have to think these things true, you know. Remember, people, that our show would not be possible without support of you, the listeners. So please go to our website, feastoffun.com/iPhone, and check out our iPhone app in development and throw in a couple of pennies into the tip jar. If you like the show, let us know.
And today's show is also brought to you in part by AdamandEve.com. Are you looking to spice things up? Here's an offer you won't be able to resist.
Go to AdamandEve.com today, and for a limited time, get 50% off just about any item. Plus, when you select one item, your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, too hot to talk about on the air, and free shipping!
Just use offer code at checkout, feast, at AdamandEve.com.
I like this music. Mm-hmm. This is music Gotta Have It Now from Val Emick. His album Little Daggers is available on our website, feastoffun.com, home of fabulousness.
If you like today's show, please visit the website and comment on today's show and let Liz know how much you appreciate her appearance on the show.
You can follow us on Twitter, Feast of Fun, or follow Liz Winstead, that's L-I-Z-Z, Winstead, on Twitter.com. Very, very funny Twitter account with millions of people.
Thousands.
You can also follow Jesus or Satan, or you can follow them both. To keep your options covered.
And see which one wins your heart.
Yeah, you can follow Buddha. You can follow Carl Sagan. There's a lot. You can follow Harvey Milk, Marilyn Monroe. Ooh, my panties just fell today. You can follow me, Fausto Fernos.
And me, Mark Fillion.
See you later.
Bye. No thought to what is tasteful.